The Lord be with you. It is so good to see you in the Lord's house this day and faces that we haven't seen in a while, those who are on the mend and such. It is good to have you with us today. In addition to those who have been in our prayers, including Alice and Terry recovering from their from their surgeries, we remember Mike Kish, who is undergoing radiation treatment for prostate cancer these days. So we pray that continues to go well for him, and that the Lord is with him in that. Before I forget, you will notice when you get to the end of the bulletin, there's a little insert in there and an X on the page where this hymn is. You may not realize this, but every once in a while, computers do weird things. And for somehow that we cannot understand, the computer decided it was going to switch the last two staffs of the music around backwards so that the hymn made no sense. So this is the one you want to use to sing the closing hymn, not the one that's printed in the page. We don't know how this happens. We know it's 2020. That's how it happens. Teaser. We had a meeting with part of the Hangout Steering Committee and the United Way and IFM. We are going to, as part of the Hangout this year, have a food pantry available for those students who are food insecure and young people who come to us for the Hangout. So next week, the 11th, is our next meeting for the Hangout Advisory Committee. So come and join us next Sunday to learn a little bit more about what it is that's going on with the United Way, IFM, and how we are able to serve those who will be right next door in just a couple of weeks. Bible class. We're firing up Bible class again. We're starting today. We're going to meet in the social hall. We're going to try and spread out as much as we can. We're going to try and behave ourselves and distance and, you know, those sorts of things. You're adults. You're going to do what you're going to do, but we'll start there. Make sure that by next week, by next Sunday, that you bring your signed permission slip from your parents so that I know that you're mature enough to study the book of Ezekiel, because there's some stuff in there that's, you know, not safe for Sunday school. So today we'll introduce a few things and language, how language is used in Scripture and how that changes over time. So join us for that. Also, very, 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 very brief one item, super short elders meeting afterwards today. Thank you to everybody who helped with cleanup yesterday. The dumpster is full, I think, so we're making progress. A whole bunch of dirt got moved at the parsonage, too. Some of us are still finding dust as we blow our noses and things from all of that. So much, much appreciated what's going on so far. So again, we're chipping away a little bit at a time. Thank you for those of you who are helping us with that. The service is before you. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it, and dug a wine press in it, and built a tower and leased it to tenants, and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this is just a wonderful and joyous text we have before us today. What's going on with all the death and destruction? Is there any hope to be had at all in Jesus' words? It all depends on how you look at it. The entire Old Testament is in view here as Jesus speaks this parable, and by extension, the Christian church. From God giving his people a land in Genesis up until God's gifts this very day, this text has it all. Spoiler alert, y'all aren't going to like where some of this is going. Just like the religious leaders revolted against what Jesus had to say to them during Holy Week, y'all aren't going to like everything that your called and ordained servant of the Word has to say today. But as long as you don't stone the servant sent to you, it'll be okay. Isaiah lays out the vineyard picture almost 800 years before Christ. This is Jerusalem. This is the home that our Lord God chose for his people to prepare the way for the coming of a Savior, the Messiah, Jesus. The place where God himself made his home. But things didn't go so well. Revolt after revolt, God's people rejected his gifts and went their own way, only to be chastened and then returned to the fold to do it all over again and again and again. Prophets were sent, the leaders killed them. God's Messiah was proclaimed, the people plugged their ears. But through it all, God, your Father, was faithful. Even after 10 of his 12 tribes were destroyed for their apostasy, he was still faithful to that tiny remnant. He sent more servants to those tending his vineyard to keep the messianic line producing its fruit that would lead to Bethlehem. But it was never an easy vineyard to keep. The final servant came, John the Baptist, and even he met the same fate as all those who had come before. He was thrown in prison and wiped from their memory. One last time, the master of the house would try to reclaim the people who had taken over his vineyard and taken over his temple. Once more, he would try to bring them back into the fold and forgive them. "They will respect my son," he said. "Surely they will listen to his authority." You know what comes next, right? Not only is the son not respected, he is thrown out of the city, and killed. And you may wonder why Jesus suddenly switches to a quarry from the vineyard to talk about this keystone, this headstone, this stone at the head of an arch or a corner. And the moment is as blatant and as clear as Jesus can get with the temple leaders without drawing them an actual picture of his own death. It's pretty widely accepted now that the place of the crucifixion was an old quarry outside the city of Jerusalem. In fact, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre there was very likely built over the site where Jesus was put to death. You know, nowadays, abandoned quarries become swimming holes or fun parks if you're down in Rockland. But in the days of Christ, abandoned quarries became dumps, trash heaps, smoking fire pits that always stank and smoldered. Oh, you didn't think the place of the crucifixion was an idyllic, clean, and beautiful hillside, did you? That's not the picture that you had in your head, was it? Because it wasn't. Crucifixion was meant to be as humiliating as possible. Execution by being nailed to a cross naked in a trash dump was not on anyone's bucket list. But that was the solution for the religious leaders. The easiest one, apparently. They get to keep their hands clean of the whole thing, right? How do we get to keep this vineyard? How do we keep this city? How do we keep this people? How do we keep this temple for our own use without God interfering with us anymore? Kill the one he sent. Really? And they knew exactly who Jesus was. That's why he had that whole discussion with them in last week's gospel about his authority and the authority of John's baptism. They knew the answers. They just rejected them. But it wasn't just ideas that they rejected. It was Jesus. He was the fruit of that vineyard. His life, his forgiveness, his salvation, and the gospel of life that they refused to return to the Lord or to carry to others. So the vineyard was taken from them. Their rebellion, even though it led to Christ's blood being shed for you and for your salvation, caused the Lord God to unleash his divine wrath upon Jerusalem and Israel in the form of the Roman armies. The city was destroyed. Thousands upon thousands of Jews were slaughtered. Everything, including the temple, is leveled and burned. It took nearly 1,900 years for a nominal Jewish state to be reestablished in the same place. So the Lord God turned his eyes elsewhere when he was rejected by his own. And just as Jesus said, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. The kingdom was given to the Christian church, to you, to those who trusted in the Lord's gifts for your salvation. But did you notice the lack of a Disney happily ever after ending? I mean, yeah, the religious leaders kept plotting how to be rid of Jesus, and though they thought they had succeeded on that Friday that we call good, that's not the end of the story. For the vineyard has been placed in your hands to tend. You are now the tenants. What do you do with the fruit that is produced? Keep it? Hoard it so others can't get any? Look warily at anyone who appears at the wall and peeks over to see what's going on? The church is the vineyard. And the church will always exist. We just confess that in the creed. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. But that doesn't mean that it will always look like you want it to look, or be made up of the people that you want it to be made up of. We've all seen how the Christian church in Europe has collapsed and is wheezing its dying gasps. And the church in America looks like it's following in the same footsteps. I mean, sure, there are individual churches that are booming and thriving. There are smaller communities that are struggling, yet remaining faithful. But not all of the tenants in the vineyard are living as the Lord God has given them to. Far too many Christian churches reject the very Christ that they claim to profess. And that kicks us back to that quarry, to the stone that the builders rejected, the one that has become the capstone, the headstone, the keystone, the stone that joins it all together so that it remains strong and steadfast. Your Lord Christ binds this all together. He is the vine, you the branches, to borrow from another gospel. So the fruit that you produce in his vineyard, in the church, is as precious as his body and his blood, for that is what nourishes you and sustains you for each day. So we're left with a couple of options. We can bemoan what once was, how it used to be in the old days, how this blasted virus has ruined everything, how this election will mean the end of life as we know it if that guy wins. In other words, we can wrench control from God Almighty and we can try to tell him how his vineyard is supposed to work. Or we can repent of our failings. We can repent of the times that we were sure that we knew better than God how it was supposed to turn out. You can repent of the control that you grasped that wasn't yours to take. And you can rest here in the beauty of the vineyard that the Lord has given to you. You can rest in the certainty of the salvation and the life and the forgiveness that you have been given in Christ, the sure foundation of your life. You can rest here, where the Lord of creation bathes you in life everlasting in your baptismal waters, where he encourages you with words spoken from his own lips, where he places upon your tongue the body and the blood that sustains you to life everlasting. The vineyard of the church is yours to tend. But with Christ in you, it is easy labor. For he has given you everything you need for your life within it. And he gladly gives it to you again and again. For he delights in you, his children. And he has given you all that you need, his one and his only Son. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.